So before I start, I have to do a survey. How many of you enjoyed singing for the first time? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Anybody have thumbs down? Okay, wonderful. I think it sounded great, but I'm not a musician, so I'm going to go on the basis that anything you do is great. Now, I may be the only person in this sanctuary who has anxiety. You, the rest of you probably don't, but I do. And it's been something that I've always had a never a dull moment relationship. Anxiety has been for much of my life almost a constant reminder of all the things I haven't done or all the things I should be doing or, well, you know, routine. Now, maybe it's odd to think of anxiety as a friend, but I adapted to it as a child and young adult. Personally, I thought that anxiety was normal and ever-present. What I did not realize at that stage of my life, that much of the anxiety that I felt was partly due to clinical depression and echoes of trauma early in my life. And I've been on antidepressant medication since after my accident in 2003. And I will say it's helped enormously. But I still get anxious. I have found some healthy ways to deal with it, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later. And I found not just healthy ways, but that anxiety that still whispers through my mind from time to time. There are good ways to deal with it. The unhealthy ways that I've left behind include alcoholism almost 20 years ago. And I can tell you that for sure that was one way to deal with anxiety, but the after effects were not pleasant at all. But in reality, I'm sure that everyone here, or some of us here, have anxiety at times. So here are some of them. Not necessarily for you, but maybe for me and others. The climate crisis, finances, home repairs and other tasks, children, grandchildren, worry about retirement, the racial reckoning in this country, the war in Ukraine, and the daily news. And that's just a start. I imagine we could all have lists and lists of the anxieties that we carry on our shoulders. So what I'd like to do this morning is suggest two ways to face anxieties with less powerlessness and more patience. As I said, I can't imagine all the anxieties we may carry in our lives, but maybe these two practical suggestions may be helpful for you. The first anxiety is one that I've heard a number of times in the last few months here in Meadville. I'm leaving in late July to return to Oregon, as many of you know. My anxiety is how I'm going to cope with the next stage of retirement. I don't have the slightest idea. Yours might be, will we get a new minister? Or, I just got used to Alex and now he's leaving. And that's all true. I am, and I was hired here to be a contract minister on a year-to-year basis. This was back in 2019. And it's still transitional ministry. It's not like a settled minister where hopefully you're going to be together forever and you're all going to love each other. And a person who is a long-term minister in a congregation, you get to know them, hopefully in a good way, but that's not a contract minister or a transitional minister's work. I've done transitional ministry for about 24 years. That type of ministry requires special training and certification, and yes, I am certified. Generally, in our work, we would go to a congregation for 1 or 2 and occasionally 3 years of full-time work. The congregation and we would start dealing with all the things that have to be dealt with before a new minister is sought, because there are a lot of leftover threads that need to be dealt with. For example, did the minister leave under a cloud? And sometimes that happens, and we have to deal with that usually at the beginning? Or was the last minister really beloved and at the church for a generation, and no one could possibly be as good as that person? Now, those examples require the transitional minister to listen deeply, support of those who are either angry or sad that the minister left, and sometimes a feeling that no new minister could possibly be as good as another acronym here, BFP, Beloved Former Pastor. Those feelings, by the way, are not unique to us. Every congregation that I know of any denomination, including Buddhist communities, go through the same pattern. You get used to somebody being around, and then they leave, and it's like having to start a brand new relationship. Other transition tasks that we do include looking deeply at the identity of the church. What is the identity of this church compared to a century ago, or a generation ago, or before COVID hit us? Your board has worked very hard to investigate that question. The new vision statement that we read every Sunday is shaping a new identity for this congregation for the years to come. And then the last one that we work with is preparing for the future. And that's usually our final task before we leave by the back door. That means that, in my case, I help the leadership and the search committee to have a successful search. I remind the congregation as many times as need be that not finding a good fit for ministry here is not the worst thing that could happen. What is the worst thing? I've seen it happen a number of times. West of here, somewhere. A search committee feels that they must pick someone, even though there are some red flags involved. And there are a few things worse for churches to pick a new minister because we have to have a minister, and then have that ministry fall apart. I know very specifically of three occasions when such decisions were made in haste. The ministers lasted only a few months, and then they left. That is something to be avoided at all costs. And sometimes, it's not a good match. It happens. It happens in places I've been before. It may or may not happen here. I don't know. But in your nearly 200-year history, I suspect there are a number of times when that happened. It just wasn't the time for a new minister to be standing here to be working with you as a congregation. And that happens. In your 200 years, I'm sure it's happened quite a few times. I know you well enough to know, though, that if that scenario happened, you'd be fine. It might be another year, and that happens fairly frequently now, but I am sure you would adapt and you would make it the best it could possibly be. But I do suspect you will find someone. Now, it is true that the pandemic has turned a lot of our lives upside down. There are fewer ministers out there looking for positions. There are fewer seminary students, partly because it's so expensive. A lot of ministers, including myself, have sort of retired. But here's a key thing that you have that few other congregations in this country do have, outside of New England. You have a special beloved story in Unitarian Universalist history. And it has amazed me over the years when I first went on Facebook and said, I'm going to Meadville, Pennsylvania. I had at least 25 people, colleagues and lay people, say things, oh, I was born, I was raised in Meadville. I spoke at the Meadville Church. I was a minister at the Meadville Church. I went to Allegheny College. I taught at Allegheny College. Yes, I lived in Meadville. It was amazing. I never had that happen with Fort Worth or even Seattle. This place, this building, this community has a very special place and powerful story in Unitarian Universalism. Your buildings, the Meadville Unitarian Seminary was here until they moved to Chicago and became Meadville Lombard Seminary. Thousands of people have been in seats where you are over the nearly 200 years you have been here. They have been leaders and teachers and people who worked for a living outdoors. Meadville itself has many positives for potential candidates for ministry. That's why it's going to be bigger than just a city of 10,000 people with a smallish church and a small liberal arts college. It's going to be very important that you advertise yourselves. Now, I'm saying this in part because two members of the search committee are here, Peggy and Amy, and the third person is Alan, who was not able to be here today. His father died recently. I have faith that in good time, you will find someone who can partner with you in pastoral care, social justice, Sunday services, and you know, just being a good person to work with you. Now, with any luck, your next minister will really like dogs more than cats. They will have really good social justice skills, and they'll be an inspiring speaker. What more could you ask for? So how are you going to face this anxiety over the next few months as I prepare to leave, and then the unknown of whomever is going to succeed me? Well, first of all, imagine a new person, and you will get one sooner or later, as a new relationship. Hopefully, there'll be a honeymoon period when the person arrives. With transitions ministers, the honeymoon period is at least 48 hours. And then it gets exciting. But I think, knowing you as I do, it will be longer. That person won't be like me. They might have a family with them, or they might have very different spiritual practices. They might be just out of seminary, and they might be getting ready to retire, but you don't know. We have to lay our assumptions and our anxieties aside a bit and say, whatever happens will be okay. So trust your search committee and your board, because they will be making the decisions on who this person will be. They are wise, and they will make wise and caring decisions on your behalf. Oh, and I mentioned the search committee is Peggy and Alan and Amy. Now, one thing I cannot and will not do, I cannot suggest or recommend who might be selected as your next minister. I keep entirely out of that decision process because this is part of the congregational polity I mentioned last week or whenever. Congregational polity means you get to choose who you want to have as your minister. I'm a hired contractor. I do not have any role in that. But again, I trust your search committee as well as the people applying in seriousness that you will make a good choice. But that is one thing I cannot be involved with. So what about the anxiety stuff again? How can you be optimistic about the outcome? This is a very important thing these days, and I've heard it here in the sanctuary, I've heard it in a meditation group, I've heard it in a book discussion group and other places. The sum of you is greater than the parts. You are a community. There are veteran members here who've been here for quite a few years. There are a number of new people who are here coming in and saying, okay, what is this place about? And usually what I hear is, we want to be in community with people more or less like ourselves. And so just remember that as a community, you're all going to be opinionated at times. You might be a smidgen quirky, and you are curious about the questions about life, and you are not hesitant to ask questions. That is really, really important in this congregation. So think of these people who are the friends you've made and will make if you really want to stick through the process, because there is far more power in people working and caring together as we move through this uncertain time. And they will help you shoulder the anxiety of, well, what comes next, to make it far lighter. You will share that, and you will make it less powerful. And you will be, I hope, more optimistic. Okay, what's the other anxiety to make friends with? Earlier, I mentioned some of the global and life anxieties we face. And of course, there are many others. There's no simple way to fix or even influence the crises that cause or intensify our worries, our depression, or feelings of helplessness. Oftentimes, we don't really have any control over what's happening. But here's an example of anxiety that we bring to ourselves, which maybe we really don't need. On my phone, I have 285 apps. And one of them is called Solar Alert. Why did I get it? I don't know. I thought it might come in handy someday. And there are a series of instructions, and there are three tabs. One is activate the trial period, of course. The second one is discover the solar threat. And the third one is your life at risk? So there's a process here to perform the vulnerability test. So for example, do you have food and water supplies for several weeks? Do you have effective electrostatic protection for your computer against an extreme solar storm? And let me see. Do you live within a 200-kilometer radius of a nuclear power plant? And then as you tick those off, it's going to say how vulnerable you are, and probably you better get to shelter quickly. That's anxiety. And we bring it to ourselves, and of course this is basic marketing, to be able to say, you're threatened. You should be nervous. You should be scared. You should be fill in the blank line. So much of our anxiety today comes from online social media, the ever-present news, and occasionally arguing about politics or culture. I've told some of you from time to time about a contest they had on Reddit a few years ago, and Reddit is an online social media site. And this was the question. If someone from the 1950s appeared in front of you and asked, what is the weirdest thing about the 21st century? What would you say? The winning entry, and this is paraphrasing slightly, said, I have here an electronic device that allows me to connect with almost all the knowledge in the world, along with most people. But what do I use it for? I use it to argue with strangers and look at cute cat videos. That's the one that won the prize. There's anxiety again. So here's one way to make friends with that anxiety, and I'm going to need your help on this. Aspire to keep an electronic Sabbath each week for a designated time. Mind you, I'm the person who has my phone on 24 hours a day, right near me. If I don't have the phone, I have the computers. I have three computers total. How do I get away from it all? So what I'd like you to do, if you wish, to team up with me to make friends with the anxiety that we can feel if we're inundated by all the information, all the news, and so on. What I'm going to be doing, I've actually started this, is do an electronic Sabbath on Sundays after church until the following morning. Now, another option, which I'm a little nervous about, is to take an entire day without any electronic media. See, this is right. And no phone on, no TV, no computers, no watches. And mine would be on Monday because that's my day off. Well, you might ask, what about emergencies? You know, you are serving a group of people who might need something from you. I will keep my smartphone on vibrate or silent. I will check to see if it's an urgent call. But otherwise, no news, no drama in Congress, no reports on the Ukraine-Russian war, no information about or concerning former presidents. It will be out for a period of time. Now, am I going to sit around and twiddle my thumbs? Well, yeah, I will. But I'll go for a walk daily, as I try to do now. I will read books that are still printed on paper. I'll use, instead of my phone, a digital SLR camera to continue learning black and white photography, which is a hobby of mine. But here's the thing. Making friends with anxiety doesn't mean we have to either ignore it or marry it. We can acknowledge its presence and be reminded that anxiety is trying to tell us something. And if we keep ignoring it, it's going to get, hello, can you hear me? Have to be anxious about something. Well, find the source of the anxiety if possible, and then find a way to quiet that source down or make it less harmful. We have more power in our lives than we can imagine. Sometimes it's just turning off our media. Other times it's, oh, we'll get a minister, it'll be okay. I've got this community, it'll be good. So what I'd like to ask us to do right now is take a short time of reflection, just a few moments. Consider how your anxieties work. What do they say to you? And more importantly than that, I have no doubt that you've had anxieties on your mind in the past since you were children. How did it work out? Did you get through it okay? Did you survive? Did the anxiety teach you something that you needed to learn? And so if you have an anxiety or anxieties that are plaguing you or a burden on your shoulders, think of how to lighten them with healthy, clear ways of just diminishing their power and then you reclaiming your own. Let's have a little bit of quiet and then I'll ring the bell.